Hey, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll talk to Booger McFarland about his experience in the NFL draft, and we'll do some news with Chris Saliza that mostly involves monkeys and cruise ships. But first, commerce.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Good morning and a sweet and happy Passover to you and your family. I have a unique request. I am the captain. Yeah. I am the captain of a 3-on-3 basketball team that competes in the National Senior Games and other venues. We need 3 to 5 more players to keep our team in contention, and would like if the players would be 6'5" or taller. They must be able to travel to tournaments, and here is the hard part. They must be 80 years old by December 31st this year.
No, 6'5" program height or current?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So let's follow up with this. Here's Bruce Rubin, who wrote the original email. Good morning. I apologize for being a pest. One clarification on the player needs for my 3-on-3 team. Only one of the 3 to 5 players needs to be 6'5". The remainder just need to be 80 and be able to travel and play. Thank you again for the mention on your show and all the best. Hello to Mr. Wilbon. I don't see clarification there.
Just one of them needs to be
6'5".
Does a 6'5" guy have to be 80?
All have to be 80.
They
all have to be 80, but just only one of them needs to play center.
My position would be that if you are 6'9 and up, by the time you're 80, you're going to be under 6'5". You're going to shrink under 6'5".
That much?
Tony, I did a little research on this, and I found someone who qualifies. Former New Jersey Senator Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley is still 6'5"?
He is 80.
Yeah. Is he still 6'5"?
And he is listed at 6'5".
He was 6'5" as a player.
So I don't know if he's still 6'5", but he is 80 on the dot.
Right.
And 6'5".
Maybe
he
wants to play. So let's...
And he's not so super busy at the moment.
No, Bruce so. Rubin, call yeah, Dollar
call
Bill.
Call Bill Bradley.
Call Dollar Bill.
Right? Sense of where you are.
Calvin Krogman, Dr. Calvin Krogman in Vermilion, I hope I pronounced that correctly, South Dakota. Potential nicknames for this show's 6'5 octogenarian hooper, Victor Tapioca. That's the list. Peter Potke, Southington, Connecticut. It's right near Bristol. The Japanese Sumo League is actively recruiting for their senior division. Interested candidates should weigh at least 500 pounds and be 80 years of age no later than December 31st of this year. You're not going to find that.
No, you're not.
You're not going to find that. And by the way, one other mention here. I want to... Jolene. Jolene wrote in. So glad to see the Masters gnome on the PTI set. Thank you. Nigel did that. A Masters factoid I forgot to mention. Usually I throw $20 in my pocket to purchase food and drink throughout the day while enjoying the golf. With the low concession stand prices, a $20 bill covers it. But this year, the Masters went cashless, credit or debit cards only. At least the Augusta High School boys and girls who volunteer don't have to figure out how to make change now. Yeah, the cashless is...
It's coming.
It's everywhere. In 5 years, I bet everyone will be cashless.
I'm out. I'm out on that. All right, Chris is here. You can hear from his voice. Michael is here. Nigel is here. Let me just say this, and we'll get to the rest of the open. Steve Sands informed us the other day that his dad, Ed, had passed away, Easy Ed, as he liked to call him. And I wrote him and I said, is it okay if we mention it on the air? I would commend to you, Michael Sands has written a beautiful piece about his dad. And Michael is, you know, running the business. This is the owner of Calvert Woodley, which is a liquor store and houses in it La Cheeserie, which is a cheese counter. That's all it is, except on this show, where it is so much more than just a place where you buy cheese. And Ed Sands did all the things that you can expect from someone, all the things that are good and create praise for him. He went out and he worked and he raised a family, and his family turned out great. That's it. I don't know, you know, I don't know what else you're supposed to talk about. I don't know if he had a collection of cowboy hats. I don't know what kind of car he drove. I don't know if he was good, you know, with a hammer and a saw. What I know is that he owned a business. He worked at the business. The business was successful. He raised a family, and he was proud of his family. And we know some of the members of the family, and we love them.
Yes.
So we commend that to Ed Sands, and we offer our sympathy to the Sands family, obviously. So we'll get that out of the way and say that early. I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm going to the Thursday afternoon Nats-Dodgers game.
With the socialite, right?
With the socialite. And I have this fear that Shohei Ohtani, because it's a getaway day and they play the next day in Toronto.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I have this fear Shohei Ohtani isn't going to play. I just want to... I don't want to say the only reason, because I like going and I love Allen. But if you ask me, what are you hoping for? I'm hoping to see Shohei Ohtani live once, bat. That's what I want to see, because I'm never going to see that again. You know, I'm not going to go to he's going to be here. How many times am I going to get to go? He's here now. Yeah. This is the last. That'll be the last game that the Nats play the Dodgers all year, because they already went to the West Coast and did pretty well against the Dodgers.
Until the playoffs.
And it's a sure. And it's a getaway day, and he may not want to play. So I'm hoping, right? We all understand this. I'm hoping to see him bat.
I think with the DH, you'll get an at-bat.
That's all I want to see.
He hit a 450-foot home run last night.
Well, you know why I missed that? Because I was so angry at the Nats bullpen last night that I turned away from the game. Patrick Corbin goes out there, and instead of giving up three runs in the first inning, and you know, we admire Patrick Corbin on the show because he says, give me the ball.
Yeah, I'll take it.
He doesn't ever, he's never hurt.
Yeah.
Right? He's a man. He's trying to earn his money. You may say it's too much money, but Patrick Corbin has never shirked. He does the work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Goes out there yesterday, throws 5 1/3. Of three-hit, no-run baseball against the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's thrown 86 pitches, which seemed low to me, but Davey went out. Davey took him out of the game and brings in Derek Law. Usually who Davey brings in that situation is Robert Garcia. He's the worst, Robert Garcia. He doesn't get anybody out, and Davey, before the inning is over, has to go out and get Robert Garcia. Well, they announced that Robert Garcia was put on the injured list. I would have put him on the DFA. I would have done that.
Probably because he pitches every single game he hurt his arm.
They put him on the injured list, so they brought in Derek Law. There's one out. There's nobody on when Patrick Corbin exits. Derek Law gets one out, but three guys get on, and they tie the game right away. Yep. And then a series, and not Weems, because Weems did one inning, and he was fine. But then all the other relievers, I think, had poor outings, and they ended up losing the game, culminated in... Did you see Ohtani?
I saw it live, and we actually rewound just to see it again.
It bombed it, right?
Second deck, yeah.
Yeah, crushed. I mean,
just, you know, just totally killed. And so the Nats lose the game. And, you know, and I... It's not like this is a new problem. This is the problem.
Has this happened before?
For 10 years.
It's like a bunch of new-ish guys, same exact problem.
This is the problem for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
By the way...
No bullpen.
Obviously, you want to see Ohtani. But tomorrow is a great pitching matchup. So it's Yamamoto for the Dodgers.
Well, he's great, except that has he done anything this year?
I know, but just cool to see.
You want to be able to say, I saw Yamamoto.
And Mackenzie Gore.
Who's been good.
Who's supposed to be the Nats' number one starter
of
the future.
You know that guy, what's his name?
Parker?
Fletcher somebody?
Mitchell Parker.
That guy's got...
That's incredible.
Yeah, that guy's going out and beat a couple of teams. That guy's been good.
Yeah.
But when Davey goes out there, it's like part of me wants to scream, no, don't go out there. Don't go out there. But maybe he saw something. 86 pitches didn't seem like a lot. Maybe Hickey or Davey saw something.
Was it going to be the third time through the lineup? Because I know they get very squeamish about that.
I don't know.
He did earlier in the week, too.
I just want to
takes him out, I think, takes him out too early. I mean, I know it's Corbin, but still.
And I would say this about Ohtani. If there's a guy who would stick around and play and not be like, I need to get away or whatever, I don't want to take the day off, I feel like it would be him. Like,
why?
Why do you
feel like it would be him?
He just seems like
a guy that wants... Did the interpreter tell you on his way to cash in that ESPN
Well, I was making bets? Some side bets about whether he'll play or not.
Right.
But no, but he just...
Yeah, what if Ohtani... What if there's a prop bet on Ohtani?
Exactly.
Well, yeah,
Jontay Porter situation.
How do we know? We don't know. I want to see him. He can leave after one at bat. I don't care what he does. I want to see one at bat. Right? That's what I want to see.
This feels like a guy that doesn't want to take time off. This is like, let me get out there and play. You know?
I hope so. I hope that's true. So the NBA, I'm going to have to talk about it today on PTO. I went to the studio yesterday. I enjoyed myself. I did. I'm not going to go a lot. I'm going to go occasionally. But I enjoyed myself. Enjoyed myself very much. Wilbon predicted that all three teams last night, all three road teams would win. He got two right. 2 days before, no, 1 day before, I predicted that Dallas and Indiana would win. So I got both of those right. Both of those right. Am I going to get any credit? No, I'm not. Not going to get any credit. One of them didn't win. Minnesota won, and Phoenix, I guess, is in trouble. I don't know. You know, what happens is that the road team gets the third and fourth home games. And what people like to say is, you know, until a home team loses, stop making assumptions about this series. I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
But can
hockey, home team and road teams.
I watched the Minnesota-Phoenix game last night. The whole big three thing is a little overblown, I think. Like Bradley Beal
is not
the third
big three
piece of that. I just looked at his stats. I watched. He played 42 minutes. He was 6 for 17, and he scored 14 points. Like, can we?
People watched him here. He produced nothing that of winning consequence. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's a fine scorer.
Yeah.
He's not a big three player.
He's not a missing piece.
Paul George is not a big three player. Stop. Got this from Gary Adell. I want to read about it. That's my dad's chips.
Oh.
He wrote this Masters Week. I got it just yesterday because it was at the office and I just got there yesterday. I'm back with more chips. I want to make sure you have plenty of snacks to eat while you're enjoying the Masters. I'm happy to report that my dad's chips are now available in almost 500 locations from Maine to Virginia Beach. And as of this week, not only are the chips available at Stroh Snyder's, but La Cheeserie now carries my dad's chips.
How about that?
We need to get Steve Sands to hold a bag during one of his Golf Channel interviews. It's no NIL deal with Marvin Harrison Jr., but it would be epic. Also, to make it even more convenient for you to get my dad's chips, when you are in Rehoboth Beach, if you stop by Surf Bagel, look at the back of the Surf Bagel chips bags, and you will see they are my dad's chips, the original flavor that you prefer.
Wow.
The growth of my dad's chips has been a wild ride, but the true indication of my dad's chips have become an elevated potato chip will be when Joe Arrow, Dan Byrne, or maybe even post-sex nachos include a reference to my dad's chips in a song. One quick story I wanted to pass on to you regarding them. I was in Hanover, Massachusetts in February handing out samples of my dad's chips to customers of the Prevetees grocery store when a gentleman approached the table and said, "I've heard of these chips." We spoke for a minute and all of a sudden he said, "These are the chips from the Tony Kornheiser show." I proudly said, "Yes, they are. We laughed about being littles and never being on the Chuck and Roxy podcast." I don't have the gentleman's name, but here's a shout out to a recent My Dad's Chips convert, and I'm happy to share another example about how your show is connecting people from all over the world. Isn't that nice? By the way, if the winner of your NCAA bracket contest would like to enjoy a case of my dad's chips while they are wearing one of your sport coats, please have Nigel or Michael reach out to me, and we will happily send chips to the winner.
He can just send them right to my home address.
Well,
we have a few extra bags for you then, Chris.
Yeah, so my dad's chips. This leads me to something. Last night, we went over to Michael and Liz's house. It was the occasion of my daughter-in-law's birthday.
21 years young.
And I was able to go over there, and I brought a present. I brought a bunch of my dad's chips. I brought the French onion. Mm. I brought the shawara. Is that how it's pronounced?
Sriracha?
Sriracha. I brought...
What flavor did you not bring? Let's start with...
Original. Didn't bring the original, because I hoard the originals. But I brought all the other flavors.
So you went out
including balsamic vinaigrette. I brought
and the French onion.
I brought them all and the barbecue.
So you went out and bought all of these?
No. Gary Dell sent me a box.
Oh.
And you'll have a gift bag when you leave today. Well, then this morning, would you explain to me what happened this morning?
So you leave and I say, "Well, those aren't our chips. Those are my dad's chips." It was a who's on first situation. So I brought your chips back.
No, you brought them all back to me. You didn't want them?
We want the original flavor, Dad.
Oh, is that what just the original?
Playing hardball. Okay. I love it.
I want the others, but I can't eat all those chips by myself.
Okay, I'll give you a big bag of original flavor today.
I'll store the other chips here because I do like to get into
storing
the
sriracha. Storing them here is not storing taking them. Store, what is this?
What is it, Amazon warehouse?
You forgot it was her birthday.
Huh?
You forgot it was her birthday. You looked around. You had a box of chips.
I didn't forget it was her birthday. I wrote her a birthday note the night before her birthday to be the first one.
Oh, yeah, to get
one.
First like.
Did she call you on her birthday?
She did not.
Mm. Wow.
But I went over there. I went over there with presents.
You also gave a shout out on PTI to a person who no longer exists.
Liz Hardwick, happy birthday.
I mean, what more could she want? Really?
Honestly. And Michael came back with the chips. And
feels ungrateful.
I'm hurt.
I feed you. I give you a glass of wine, and this is the treatment I get.
The food that Michael cooked last night was great.
Did Michael dump the chips on your front lawn?
No.
He brought
all of them back in the bag that was delivered to him.
We did not think that this was a serious gift on your part.
Wow.
We thought it was a gesture.
Wow.
It was a totally serious gift.
I picked these flowers from your yard as I was walking in.
Totally. I had gotten the box, and I went, this would be great for Liz and Michael and the boys. And then this morning, I felt like I'd done something wrong.
Feels like a Godfather 2 situation. Remember when they go to the bar, and they give, like, here's a C note to signify, and he's like, I'm insulted by this.
Yeah. So,
for Father's Day, when I was like 11, I got my father an Atari 2600. Video game system.
I mean,
it was
yourself.
My finest hour.
You got it for yourself.
I had my mom buy it, give it to him, and then I took it. My dad's chip situation.
Anyway, now we'll take a break. We're going to try to institute a segment with Chris, sort of like we used to do with Gary, sort of news, where
Who?
Chris comes up with Gary. Yeah, Chris comes up with news stories, and we talk about them. But let me just say this before we get out of this one. It's not going to be politics.
No.
It's not going to be Trump's trials. It's not going to be protests around the country. It's not going to be that.
Nope.
Yeah, we're doing that big Israel Gaza segment you told me about.
We're not going to do that. So, like, I think you all know by listening where I stand on all these issues. We're not going to do that. This is, the rule here is we're going to try and be entertaining.
Yes.
And that's sort of the rule. That's, I think, why you listen. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Liquid IV read. With that summer feeling running wild, you need hydration that keeps up with every moment. This would have been perfect last week, but over the weekend, you didn't have that summer feeling when it was 45 degrees. You didn't have that summer feeling here. You had it in South Carolina with Michael. You had it in Florida. Kip Schmiemann was in Florida.
Oh, really?
It was 90, yeah. But you didn't have it in D.C.
Not so much here.
A single stick of Liquid IV makes ordinary hydration extraordinary. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. It's the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. 1 stick of Liquid IV mixed with 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It has 8 vitamins and nutrients, plus it's non-GMO. It's free from gluten, dairy, and soy. No artificial colors or sweeteners. And now there are 4 delicious sugar-free flavors, white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime.
Mm.
You, what was the one you like?
I've really settled on strawberry. The strawberry
one.
That's
your favorite one?
Yeah, I think that's become my favorite one, yes.
All right. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and you use the code TONYK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using the promo code TONYK at liquidiv.com. Use the code, people.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a Simply Safe ad. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. Maybe you'll love it. I hope you'll love it. It's trusted by experts. Simply Safe was named Best Home Security Systems for 2024 by U.S. News & World Report, and Newsweek awarded it Best Customer Service in Home Security. Love, though, is a strong emotion. I might be very content with my security system.
Right.
I might be very relaxed and not anxious about it.
Yes.
Love is a stretch.
Well,
love is a stretch.
I loved when our studio was covered by the Simply
That's
Safe
right.
security
That's
system.
Right.
Because it's
That's
great.
Right.
It's easy to set up. There's people to walk you through it. And it gave us that peace of mind that no one was going to go into our studio. And now I really need to get this for my flat. I think
yes.
I really do.
Now we'll get it for you.
All right. Yeah.
The system blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. Professional monitoring agents for Simply Safe can even help stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them they're being recorded and police are on their way. That's sci-fi to me. That's just so wild.
Put that down. The cops are coming.
Love
Leave.
It. With no contract and a 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. You don't absolutely love it? Send the system back for a full refund. SimpliSafe will give you real peace of mind and great savings, too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit SimpliSafe.com/Tony. That's SimpliSafe, S-I-M-P-L-I, SimpliSafe.com/Tony. Because there's no safe like SimpliSafe.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us from Sean Peabody, who writes, I sing, play drums, bass, and occasional guitar with the Jim Baznight Band. I'm helping Jim get the word out on his new digital singles, What I Wouldn't Do, and I'll Be There. They're attached, the latest singles from his new digital album, Summertime Peculiar, which was released last November. Baznight's working hard on the next album for summer 2024 release, as well as finishing his biography of Sonny Boy Williamson, and needs help getting this killer new single out to folks like you. My wife, Beth Peabody, will be singing harmonies on all 14 tracks of the upcoming album, and I've already played all the drums. I'm in the process of singing backups on every track as well.
How great is that?
It's nice. This is...
so cool.
This is the Jim Baznight Band, and it's called What I Wouldn't Do, and it plays in Chris with... with whatever Chris wants to do. What do you first? You want to make an announcement?
I want to plug.
Yeah,
because ahead. I think people on this show will be interested in it. I started an all sports newsletter that basically is just looking at old timey stuff in sports. So I did like the most unbreakable records in sports, like Cal's record or the DiMaggio hit streak. So it's once a day. It's free. It's called The Replay. Check it out. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, okay. You have news.
I do. Well, I'm a newsman.
Right. Right.
As you know, and we have a pretty extensive team, iTeam, that we send out. That regular readers and listeners know this. Obviously, we have 10 or 15 people who go out and comb the country for news. So they send it to me, and I will read it to you. Now, this one, Tony, I'm going to start here. You probably already heard about this one because you are on TikTok all the time.
I've never been on TikTok. I want TikTok to go away. They passed that bill. I want TikTok
well,
to
it
stop.
May go
big into
away.
The dances, though, right, Dad?
Oh, yeah. The
TikTok dances?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what TikTok dances are?
No, isn't TikTok just... isn't it A, an agent of the Chinese government?
It is owned by, yes.
And yeah. B, isn't it just cats dancing? Isn't that what TikTok
I think
is?
That's what the company puts on its logo. Yeah,
yeah,
just cats dancing.
Just
okay. By the way, you may get your wish because Congress just passed
yeah,
a
they
law.
Passed it.
So, yes. Yeah. Okay, so this one, the headline is, I'm an ex-cruise ship worker, so I'm already interested, as you
yeah,
know.
Yep.
Here's the shocking reason we throw free ice cream parties. Okay, so apparently there are a lot of free ice cream parties on ships. Well, we don't go on them.
Sounds right. Lovely.
Okay, so this woman's name is Dara Tucker. And on TikTok, she explains the eerie reason why cruise ships do this. Now, I'm going to quote Dara here. If the crew suddenly makes a bunch of ice cream available to passengers, it is often because more people have died on the ship...
need to clear up space.
Then they have room for in the morgue. She adds, if more than seven people died on that particular... I don't know if seven is the number, but if more
that's
than seven people died on that particular ship, they would have to start moving bodies to the freezer, which meant they needed to make room in the freezer, so they would have to take out a lot of the ice cream and other frozen goods in order to make room for the extra bodies. Just one more stat, because I've always suspected this. This is her again. Maybe 4 to 10 people die every cruise.
Really? even like the small, like a 3-day cruise?
And there are a lot of older people on ships. 3 to 10 people?
Well, you've seen the stories now of older couples where they've discovered it's cheaper to live
yes.
on the boat than yep. to actually pay rent or find a place.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm looking for that. I'm thinking that's coming soon.
Yet another reason not to go on
a
cruise ship.
Why would anybody?
4 to 10. I don't like my odds on that.
Why would anybody go on a cruise? Why?
No idea.
Not only might you die of natural causes, but you might be murdered and thrown over the side.
Right over the side.
Or the ship could sink. You know,
yeah, it's just a rogue wave takes you out.
So I figured instead of the soft serve, they could just put out more coconut shrimp on the buffet. And just
I mean, so if you get free ice cream next time you're on a ship, you know the deal.
The attraction, everybody I've ever talked to who has gone on cruises and liked them talks about the same thing. The Volume of food and drink.
That's just...
That's all it is. The volume of food and drink.
Just gorge, you gorge yourself.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Okay. We take you to Florida.
Oh, Florida man.
And that, in fact, is the headline.
The Florida man.
This is from News Channel 8, not that News Channel 8.
Right.
Florida man...
Sister station.
Florida man saves local neighbor affiliate. From jaws of 11-foot gator.
Ooh.
By hitting it with his car. Okay. A man in Collier...
Well, he drove it over the...
It is what it says it is, yes. A man in Collier County narrowly escaped a potentially deadly encounter with an 11-foot alligator Friday.
Big. That's a big
now,
gator.
Listen to this, because you do walk Chessie in the morning.
I do.
Don't want to alarm you,
I see foxes. There's a fox
Rick,
that I see all the time.
Rick Fingerette was walking his two Labradors...
It's not a real name.
...near a pond in The Quarry off Immokalee Road when he was attacked by a massive gator. Fingerette tried to fight off the reptile by kicking it and poking it in the eyes and nose.
Well,
like a Three Stooges type situation.
What else would you do? What else?
I have heard that if you put your fingers in the nostrils, it can't breathe, so it'll open up its mouth and then you can extract your leg or arm or whatever.
Speaking of extracting your legs... fortunately for Fingerette, his neighbor Walter Rudder happened to be driving by. This is the most underplayed sentence I've ever heard. Happened to be driving by and saw the man trapped on the ground with his legs inside the alligator's mouth.
Mm-mm. Oh, God.
I was driving and we saw a man lying on the ground waving his arms, Rudder told WBBH. We pulled over and I got out of the car and saw that the alligator had him by the leg. With not much time to think, Rudder ran over the alligator, which released Fingerette from its mouth. No word on the alligator's health. But Fingerette appears to be, he kept his legs, which something.
I don't know if this is actually the case, but I've sort of lived with the notion that what alligators want to do is drag you under the water.
Yep, drown
you. That's what they want. They don't so much want to eat you as just drag you down and kill you that way.
And then eat you at their convenience.
I guess.
Yeah, they do the thing where they drag you under and then they roll you.
Yep. We should check in with a hammer. The hammer, a big alligator fan. And we were just down in South Carolina, the Lowcountry. Where you see them. And this is around all these golf courses, they're supposed to relocate them when they get to a certain size. I think it's over 10 feet. But
my
this
God,
time of year,
you think a
9-foot
alligator isn't scary enough?
The story of the alligator comes out, sees an older woman walking a dog, takes the dog,
eats
someone
the dog.
Tries to save the dog, ends up going in herself.
Yeah. Right.
We were at the Grand Floridian at Disney World 4 years ago, and I was walking, and there's a little beach there. I was like, oh, the beach is closed. That's weird. I didn't think anything of it, right? And my wife was like, you know why the beach is closed? And I was like, no. She's like, gator came and took a kid.
No.
Yes. Right on the little beach thing. I mean, it's not like, took a kid.
Awful.
Yeah.
You have one more for us?
Yes, I got one more for you.
Thank you. This is a wonderful segment. So we'll wait for the email. The email will destroy the segment.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, people on the show love me.
Yes.
So
I think it'll work.
I feel like it's a great combo.
I think it'll work.
Charting the animal revolution. This comes to us from Thailand.
Mm.
Again, the headline is just terrific. Thailand has a plan to contain the monkey mayhem in the popular tourist town of Lop Buri. Okay, here's the lead. This is near Bangkok. Thai wildlife officials laid out a plan Wednesday to bring peace to a central Thai city after at least a decade of human-monkey conflict.
Really?
Yes, a decade. So this has plagued this town for more than a decade.
The 10 Years' War.
Yes, exactly. I believe that's what it refers to. The macaques that roam Lop Buri are a symbol of local culture and a major tourist joy. But after years of dangerous encounters with residents and visitors and several failed attempts to bring peace...
Well, how are you going to bring peace? You're going to negotiate this?
Yes. Yes. You have a representative from the macaques.
What are you talking about?
You sit down with a representative from
the
town.
Reject your proposals.
Yes. Exactly. Well, you need someone. The problem is they've broken down because they don't have anyone who speaks macaque. That's the issue. So again, in the why are we surprised by this, the monkeys frequently try to snatch food from humans, sometimes resulting in tussles. Why would you fight the monkey? That can leave people with scratches and other injuries. This is amazing. So
these are animals.
Yes. So apparently it's reached ahead. It's culminated in this. In March, outrage grew when a woman dislocated her knee after a monkey pulled her off her feet in an attempt to grab food, and another man was knocked off a motorcycle.
By a monkey?
By a, not just a monkey, Tony, a hungry monkey.
A hungry monkey.
He was hungry. They have 2,500 monkeys in this town, and they are hoping, this seems like it's not going to work, hoping to place them in massive enclosures. They'll work with wildlife experts to find a way for a limited number of monkeys to stay at liberty in the city. It's not clear how you wind up, how you win that lottery, and you wind up as a free roaming monkey, but the plan is to put them in big enclosures throughout the city.
I think that what I'm going to say now needs to be said. If you've ever been around, these are animals. I mean, have you ever been around hawks? Hawks are circling, you're out on a golf course, hawks are circling, and the next thing you see, the hawks dive, and there's an animal in its talons, and it takes it away and eats it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at Rehoboth a couple of weeks ago. I got very fortunate. I think I talked about what a great dinner I had. I had the Masters dinner, the John Rahm Masters dinner. And we were sitting outside before the dinner was served, and there were hors d'oeuvres outside. There was one of those fire pits, and 10 people are sitting around. It's really, really lovely. And then seagulls come in, and they start grabbing the cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And they start grabbing the ham. They Love start grabbing Gouda. The wafers. You know, and other people think this is cute. And I think, get me out of here. because at some point, something bigger is going to attempt to grab my head. And, you know,
it's a Tippi Hedren situation.
What they do.
I'm always, every couple years, and it's more often now, there's always a story that comes up where it's like, woman who gave wine and Xanax to monkey, surprised when monkey bites.
Nigel's just showing me the amount of monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, there's 2,500 monkeys.
So how many residents are here?
It's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that because I was distracted by this headline. Male hippo in Japan zoo found to be female after 7 years. So I'm sorry, I was distracted. They got that wrong for seven years. We've got reports coming in from all over the country at every minute. So, Michael, let me get back to you.
Nigel's
we'll
photo
go back to
would
Thailand.
Make it appear that the monkeys are not going to accept any deal.
No, yeah, that's them walking out of the negotiations. Or scampering out, I suppose.
They're animals, okay? Again, Siegfried and Roy. I mean, come on.
Yes.
Come on. You think, you have a great relationship. If my dog goes into her cage, if I attempt to go into the cage with her, she snaps at me.
Really?
Yes, this is my dog.
Yep.
Loves me. They're animals. You need to be wary. You need to be wary.
Apparently, yes. I just one follow-up. This story, poor journalism, doesn't say how many people live in the city, but they've speculated, I love this, some have blamed the city's monkey troubles on tourists and residents feeding the animals. Really? Which they say drew monkeys into the
100%.
City and boosted their numbers 100%. As well as getting them accustomed to
Everybody
getting food from humans.
Everybody feeds animals, of course, 100%.
No duh.
We'll take a break. Booger McFarland will join us when we return. We're going to talk to Booger about being drafted. I was not drafted. He was drafted. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Nile read. Getting engaged is special for so many reasons. You get to plan the perfect proposal, celebrate the love you've built so far, and look forward to the love you'll build for the rest of your lives. The only part that's not so special, shopping for an engagement ring if you don't know what you're doing. That's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler. Since 1999, they've helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. With Blue Nile, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine, at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. They're committing to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing diamonds and jewelry. When you make a lifelong commitment, so does Blue Nile. You get guaranteed service and repair for life. And don't worry, your secret is safe. Every Blue Nile order is insured and arrives in packaging that won't give away what's inside. And Blue Nile offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee with guaranteed free shipping and returns. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with the code TONYK at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with the code TONYK at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com. Use the code, people.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Rosetta Stone read. You're looking to learn a new language. Maybe you want to be able to say flush the mouse in any language you choose. That's great. Oh, that's why you should check out Rosetta Stone.
I looked it up in French. I think it's Rancer le Souris or something like
there
that.
There you go. Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer lessons in 25 languages, Italian, Chinese, Dutch, just to name a few. Their fast language acquisition immerses you in many ways. There are no English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Plus, they use an intuitive process that lets you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences, and it's all designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. You want the right pronunciation. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's also really convenient with both desktop and app options with an audio companion, and you'll have the ability to download lessons offline. It's an amazing value. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips you might take and all your language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off, which is a steal, kids. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, listeners to this high-quality podcast can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. So visit rosettastone.com/Tony. That's 50% off on limited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem, tough to read, I get tired, I'm old. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Tony today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is the Jim Baznight Band. This is sent to us by Sean Peabody, who plays on all these things. This is called I'll Be There. Not the I'll Be There that you're used to. I'll Be There by the Four Tops.
Four Tops, yes.
Not that. This is, I guess you can't copyright the name of a song.
No.
You know, I guess if you're writing a song and you want to call it I'll Be There, I guess you can call it, you know, whatever you want.
I would
called
caution
scrambled
against...
eggs.
I have a song called Yesterday
yeah,
that
you
I'm
can
working
scrambled
on.
Eggs.
Hard Day's Night.
All right, Michael, if people like the Jim Baznight Band want to send in their original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
So we were going to have Booger McFarland in this segment, and we don't have Booger McFarland for whatever reason. I don't know the reason. He's supposed to be on the PTI show this afternoon, so I will find out later in the day. It's not a big deal. We love Booger McFarland.
Hopefully it's an early tea time.
Yes. Maybe, and that's fine. I was just going to, what I was going to talk to him about is he was a first round pick. What year was that, Chris?
He was the 15th overall pick in the 1999 draft.
By the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yep. He had been an All-American at LSU, and he was drafted. And all I wanted to know, because the draft is tomorrow night, I just wanted to ask him a series of questions about being drafted, such as, where were you? Were you in New York, or did you stay home? Who did you have around you? Were you anxious about this? Did you have contact with one team, five teams, eight teams? Were the teams you didn't want to go to? Do you think you got on the right team? He was drafted. Obviously, at that point, Tony Dungy was coaching Tampa Bay. And so if you're a defensive player like Booger was and you're drafted by a defensive coach, that's probably the best of all possible worlds
sure,
for you.
Sure.
And so there was a series of questions like that. Were the places you didn't want to go? How did you find out Tampa Bay took you? You know, all of these things, because he has an experience that's different than mine.
Yeah.
I wrote about athletes. He was an athlete. So that was what today's interview was going to be. And you know, we missed it. We'll do it some other time. I don't think we have to not do it. We could do it Friday.
Yeah. And by the way, we did talk about one cool thing about the internet, and there are a lot of terrible things, but we have all of Booger's pre-draft measurables.
Yeah.
So he weighed 299.
He's only 6 feet tall.
6 foot and a half inch.
6 feet more than 300.
40-yard dash, 4.85 seconds.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievably fast.
Wow.
Unbelievably fast. No, he's a great athlete.
Great, yeah.
And Booger
vertical
was a great
jump,
athlete.
28 and a half inches. Broad jump, 9 feet. I mean, I don't know what.
Standing broad jump.
Yeah, I mean.
That's pretty good. Long. I don't think you could do
for
that.
For a big defensive lineman.
You know. No. And he was on two Super Bowl winning teams, yes. Which we have talked about before. So that's what it would have been. And so we don't really have a segment here.
No.
And the only thing I could think of is to just say, why did you bring the potato chips back? And I'll give you a big bag of the original flavors.
I'll take
flavors.
The large bag of the original.
Yeah,
because they're really good. That's negotiating. Yes. Well done.
Yeah,
well done.
I mean, yeah. So that's it. So it's a shorter podcast today, and what can I tell you? We'll be back on Friday. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone is always.
Well,
wear white.
This will actually go.
Oh no! This will go to right, so we can come back and do email and jingle.
Yes.
Right. So you get that. You get email and jingle.
Yeah.
You just don't get.
You get what you paid for.
Yeah, but we'll track Booger down.
Do people pay for this?
Exactly.
No, they don't pay.
Well,
for
I
this.
Mean, I'm happy to send my Venmo if people want to pay me for it.
All right. I
mean, particularly after that.
All right.
Segment.
So yeah, email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Etsy Reed. I'm here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone in any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. There's a lot of pressure around gifting. If you have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the special people in your life, and you get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing, now with Gift Mode on Etsy, you can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I could do that.
It's pretty
Everybody
cool.
Everybody wishes they could do that.
Play amazing. Like
that. Mitch
That's
can
Bruce
do it.
Griffin. Mitch can do it.
He can.
You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop one in, my friend, and you will be thrilled.
That's it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, I'm going out west where I belong, where the days are short and the nights are long, where they walk and I walk, they twist and I twist, they shimmy and I shimmy. They're out there having fun in the warm California sun. I knew that song
yes.
when Nigel presented it to me. I knew it was California sun. I knew that. I could not come up with the name of the group. Couldn't do it. And I said to Nigel, just give me the first letter. The first letter. And he went R. I went Rivieres. I got it. I was really, really proud of that. Thanks to our guests today, Booger McFarlane and Chris, you qualify as a guest. Are you
yes.
here? All the time. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple, please leave us a review. Okay, so now we're going to do some emails. And this comes from Jacob Beck, who is in the group, the Harpers.
Oh, that we played the other day, yes.
And he writes, thanks for spinning the new tunes. Rich was telling me, Rich is another guy in the band, you spent some time in Binghamton. So some time in Binghamton, what, like I was in jail? No, I went to college in
just
Binghamton.
Just got out.
It's also 8 months.
I went to college in Binghamton.
Ari Melber situation.
You know, and he says, I'm from Elmira, used to go to Harpersville to hang with friends and play music, hence the band name Harpers. It's always nice to meet someone familiar with the area, and I really appreciate the support. Harpersville is H-A-R-P-U-R-S-V-I-L-L-E. I think it's Robert Harper was a big guy in that area. That's Harper College. It's Harpersville. So why would you make Harper's H-A-R-P-E-R-S like Harper's Bazaar? Why would you do that?
There's already a magazine by that name.
Why would you do that?
There's a you. Use it.
We're trying to help you.
I don't really understand that. From Chris Robinson in Mount Pleasant. Yeah, I mean, it's not like anybody has heard of you to the degree that if you changed your name, it would be shocking. And people would go, oh, my God, it's front page news. Right. Let's change the spelling. Just change the spelling.
Yeah, do it.
Chris, Chip Robinson, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I'd like to play the email stats game, but it never occurred to me to keep track of them. Can you ask Nigel to look that up for me? I don't know how far back you should go, but I think somewhere in the early 2000s would be safe. Thanks, I'll hang up and wait for you.
Let me get on that.
Mark Lynch in North Canby, Indiana. I just thought I would let you know that my email read rate is 100%. Assuming you read this one, that number is 286 out of 286. I'm also in Chuck and Roxy episode one. No, it's not. This is not true.
That sounds false. The original episode.
That's not true.
The pilot.
From Adam Benson, who always writes us from St. John's in Newfoundland. I don't know my mailbag number, but I'm sure I'm in the top 20. From Papa Thiam in France, in Paris. I'm afraid Nigel flushed the mouse with his French translation of flushing the mouse. In his defense, there's no single French verb that's a direct translation for to flush in the bathroom context. You can't capture that kind of poetry in three words. Well, I just did. Flush the mouse. That is three
done.
Words.
English is better than French.
From Brandon Borzelli in Lebanon, New Jersey, it's well known the symbolism that oranges play in The Godfather.
Yes.
The Don is shot while buying fruit. He's holding an orange when he senses the hit. The Don dies while chasing his grandson with an orange peel in his mouth. Perhaps the coldest moment is when Michael is plotting Hyman Roth's demise. As he scolds Tom about how history has taught us you can kill anyone, he's gnawing the skin off an orange. As Roger Goodell meets with his advisors about the upcoming schedule, and he states, we'll have five Christmas Day games, and he's met with them. He's met with, Christmas is for the NBA. There's no way we can get it from them. What? I thought Christmas is for NBA. I thought it would be NFL, right, in that context. Oh, Roger Goodell.
Unless they push back at him.
He just simply says, you surprise me. If history has taught us anything, it's that our product can outrate anybody's as he slowly peels the skin off. It's a brilliant email, but Brandon Borzelli is, in fact, brilliant.
Yes.
Noah in
Hope
Austin.
Hope it's a caracara.
After more than 5 years listening to this stinking show, it's finally happened, my very own David Aldridge moment. On Monday's show, you read an email referencing a performance by the band Rat Boys, and I thought I know that band. One of my coworkers was friends with the bandmates while attending college with him at Notre Dame. Rat Boys being alums of Notre Dame, I bet you didn't see that one coming, old sport. They played a show here in Austin, Texas a few months back that a group of coworkers attended. What can I say other than Rat Boys rocked? Also, please remind my father, a recently converted little, to kindly eat it.
That should do the trick.
From Michael Sheehan, not from Kevin Sheehan, from no, Michael Sheehan.
No relation.
From Martin Sheen.
Bend, Oregon, Bend and Dunes, hello geography. Bend is a mere 257 miles from Bend and Dunes, more than the distance from Washington, D.C. to New York City. It is a town of over 100,000 full of outdoor activities and most 30-somethings on the East Coast who drive Subarus want to move there. So if you fly into the Bend Airport, take 97 south to the 138 and then 101, the Coast Highway. Bend and Dunes is on the left. It's a beautiful five-hour drive. Good luck, Michael Sheehan, Eugene, Oregon. P.S. Although I'm now in Oregon, I grew up smack between Marblehead and Revere. Wicked good friend Clams. Okay, so Bend and Dunes is not in Bend. Dan Fouts was born and raised in Bend, which is why I always confuse it. And
really?
I don't, yes, Dan Fouts is from Bend, I believe that. From Dwayne Buck in the Southwest Waterfront, that's local. As the current unofficial single guy of your show, I thought I'd share an interesting moment from a recent date. I met a young lady online, and after some back and forth, we agreed to meet for lunch. Over lunch, we engaged in the usual banter like family, hobbies, and work. She casually mentioned she wasn't sure about meeting me because I'm in sales and I try some sales mind tricks on her. Incredulous, I responded with, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Then follow up, if I had the ability to do mind tricks, why would I waste them on you? Needless to say, the rest of the
mind
was rather awkward. And obviously no chance for a second date. Guess you could say I flushed a mouse.
Yes, you did.
On a potential relationship. Yeah.
I looked this up. It says that Dan Fouts was at least born...
Born in Bend.
...in San Francisco.
Oh,
Drew Bledsoe is from Bend, Oregon, though. Maybe it's that.
I thought Dan Fouts was.
I'm looking. He may have moved.
Right. David Warner in St. Louis. Bears fans tell me that the pinnacle event of the NFL season, the draft, arrives this week. After all, to quote Herm Edwards, you play to win first pick in the draft. So congrats to all the Chicago Jason fans out there on their back-to-back draft championship seasons. I'm looking forward to the victory parade. From Jason Anschutz in Fargo, North Dakota. I lived in Milwaukee for 9 years, and to me, the best custard in town was at Kops, K-O-P-P-S.
Hmm.
There was a time when you could order Kops, and they would ship it to you anywhere in the lower 48, but that service stopped during the pandemic. Too bad. Otherwise, I finally would have been able to send you a box of that. I think you would have been a fan of the butter brickle. Maybe you can get Wilbon to put some on ice for you if he's at a Bucks game in the next few weeks. From Trent Russell in Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada. Tony, did I already tell the bridge story? Confirms with Sean, Michael, and Nigel, the story hasn't been told. Proceeds to tell a story of driving over a bridge on a windy day, incident-free. My God, why do other podcasts even try to compete? It's funny.
And then I made it. No problem.
Greg Roberts, Logan, Utah. I was pleased to learn they will be taking their time to choose a name for the NHL team in Utah. Hopefully they'll use this time wisely and come up with something as imaginative as Washington did for the Commanders. I'm attempting, albeit with little success, to get some support for the name Utah Quakies. Quakies is the nickname for quaking aspen, Utah's official state tree. Every fall, we flock to the mountains to witness the leaves transform into a stunning golden yellow, creating a striking contrast against the tree's white bark. Utah is home to Pando, a 106-acre grove of over 40,000 quaking aspen trees,
wow,
interconnected by a single root system, earning it the title of the largest living organism on Earth. There could be an annual fall match between the Quakies and the Leafs. We could call it the Leaf Peepers Classic. That they're all connected?
That's insane.
That's completely fascinating.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say Quakers. I read it over quickly.
Right.
Utah Quakers. And I thought, well, Utah is more famous for
the Mormons,
a different religion,
yeah,
than that. But it's the Quakies. What an interesting name. From Mark Hughes in Ashton, Maryland. On Monday's show, you read an email from a little named Rum Dum Rummels. I got nothing. I just wanted to hear you say his name again because it made me laugh.
I just love that he thought it was a compliment for 30 years.
From Henry Vaughn. Hey, gang. Longtime little first-time writer. I'm a pharmacist at a CVS competitor just south of St. Louis. My staff thought it'd be a funny gag to buy the pictured recordable buttons and record their voices barking out various phrases I use constantly throughout the day. A small sample of them include, who's getting drive through, and I need help with the phones. My assumption is, this is like from a movie.
Right.
You know, it's from one of those characters that just can't get anything right.
Right.
It's very funny. My assumption is that they would rather hear their own voices barking out these orders in place of my own. So, of course, I've had a little fun of my own and record over many of them with my favorite TK show phrases. When my staff is having struggles with a complicated Cigna issue, I can press the don't flush the mouse button. After researching the product they gifted me, it turns out they are designed to train man's best friend to communicate with us humans. I thought I'd share so you could train Chessie to use the different colored buttons to tell you when she's hungry, eat it, or give a hearty little cheese. Chessie can't do that.
Well,
Chessie's yet, a dog.
Yeah,
and yet he sent in a picture of these things.
Dog could learn that if you hit this button, then that means I get fed. You know, they can figure
that
out.
That's how Nigel eats.
That's how I sorted it out, yeah.
She gets fed at the same time every day. And I say, do you want to have breakfast? Do you want to have supper? Jeez. And she knows that. And she comes in and she's happy. She's a happy dog. Everything that we do for her makes her happy.
Yes, that
and
is true.
And she sits, as she's sitting right now, on her own little chair.
She's trying to speak up.
I was talking to her
dog
earlier about Immanuel Kant.
Yeah. Well, she studied him in Kant. Studied him in Kant. Which reminds me, before we just get out of this segment, I had this conversation with Wilbon yesterday. Wilbon, you know, trying to say that these sports academies aren't bad and you could send your child there. And I said, they teach nothing. There's no school. And then Wilbon's rejoinder was, well, you don't have to go to school anymore because have you seen the majors that people have in college? They're not English, they're not French, they're not history. They're all these subsets of majors. And I thought that he had made a point. I mean, to me, you go to college to be around the environment and you're tested all the time. And you, even if you don't know what you learn, you walk out of there a smarter human being. But I will say that we probably have reached our limit on sports marketing majors by now. We probably have, maybe not millions, but hundreds of thousands more sports marketing people than we need. Because, you know, we don't need any sports marketing people. We really don't.
We actually don't.
And so, to a degree, I agree with Wilbon, to a degree. But I would not send my child because you send your child to an academy, you're saying, all I care about is my child becomes a professional athlete. And 95% of them, it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Maybe not 95%. Maybe 70%. But most of them, it's not going to happen. Anyway, if you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, do wear white.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Salvation Army Local Depot.